Chapter 26, Latin, Civilization's Foremost Language. The communication of ideas through language is the principal ingredient that builds civilization. Of all the thousands of languages to come and go, threading through the civilizations of mankind, undoubtedly the culmination was already reached 2,000 years ago, with the formulation of the Latin language. This is not to say, necessarily, that the greatest literature was written in Latin, but that the language itself must be considered first and foremost among the languages of mankind, even to the present day. Latin literature itself probably reached its golden age and its peak during the time of Cicero, Caesar, and Pompey, and the literary language, and in general, written Latin, remain fixed at the stage that it had reached about 50 BC. The sounds and forms of Latin make it one of the most sonorous and stately of languages, and the nature of its syntax gives it a compactness and precision that no modern languages possess, making it an admirable instrument for training in exactness of thinking and conciseness of expression. Moreover, knowledge of Latin is the key to one of the great literatures of the world. Not only are some half dozen of the Latin writers among the immortals of mankind, but the influence of Latin writings on the growth and character of our own English literature has been as continuous and as profound as the influence of Latin upon our English language. During the 1st and 2nd century AD, when Rome had conquered most of the then known civilized world, Rome and its language, Latin, spread its influence throughout all this territory, carrying with it the great prestige of Roman culture, administration, and its laws. It was Latin that remained the language of the church, of diplomacy, and of culture in general, during the whole of the Middle Ages. Then, with the coming of the Renaissance, it became once more the language of poetry and of learning, threatening to even overshadow the new Romance languages. During the long centuries of Roman supremacy in Europe, Latin came to have a peculiar preeminence which no other language has ever enjoyed. French, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, and Romanian are merely the modern representatives of Latin as it was spoken in various parts of the Roman Empire. Hence they are known as the Romance languages. Moreover, all through the Middle Ages and down to quite modern times, Latin was the language of learning and diplomacy. An educated man in any part of Europe knew Latin as well as his own language, and both wrote and spoke it freely. It was for this reason that the philosophical and scientific works of such men as Bacon and Newton and many others were written in Latin, not in English. So basic and so important is the Latin language even today that most of the basic legal terms used in English and American law, for instance, are expressed in Latin. The names of species in zoology and botany are today expressed in Latin, making the names universal, no matter in what language they might be referred to. Furthermore, modern medicine is filled with Latin designations for different drugs, terms designating muscles, bones, nerves, and other parts of humans, plants, and animals. The different species of animals, birds, insects are expressed in Latin. It is indeed a universal language and may be truly designated as the foremost language of the white man's civilization. Not only did the Romance languages derive directly from Latin, but even the Germanic and Anglo-Saxon languages have a great percentage of their root stock of words originated from the Latin. Taking this together with the Romance languages, the influence of the Latin language as developed by the great Roman civilization is overwhelming. We owe much more than has been credited to this outstanding language. I therefore believe that the teaching and study of Latin in our schools should be more emphasized and expanded. Instead of studying and promoting half a dozen or more foreign languages in our schools, most of which are a waste of time because they are usually soon forgotten and never used again. It would be much more beneficial to make a thorough study of Latin a universal study by all the different white nations of the world. In this way, rather than having to learn English, German, Spanish, French, Portuguese, Italian, Greek, and numerous other languages when traveling abroad, the knowledge of just one extra language, namely Latin, would be sufficient. By this means, if the English, the Germans, the French, the Scandinavians, and all the other white countries taught their children an excellent Latin from early childhood as a second language, then the white man would have a universal language he could converse in, no matter which country he traveled. Since we do not promote the participation of the colored races in our future history in any case, we are not particularly concerned whether they adopt this measure or not, but it would certainly be a great help and a decided advancement for the white races to have a universal language in which they could all converse, and one which would be understood by every white individual. Not only would this give us all a better understanding of the common white heritage we owe the great Roman civilization, but it would also further help to forge a common, unifying bond between all the white peoples of the world. A common language is a unifying element among people. A language difference is a divisive factor. For instance, in some countries, such as Switzerland, the country is divided into four languages, German, French, Italian, and a small percentage of Helvetic. As a result, the Swiss are burdened with learning four languages just so they can converse with their own countrymen. Despite the fact that they will try to deny it, it presents a problem and it is divisive. The question comes up continually, is such and such a German Swiss, a French Swiss, or an Italian Swiss? Or is he a Helvetian Swiss? Secondly, what language should a restaurant menu be written in, or a traffic sign, or a government announcement? The problems are endless and needless. If the Swiss had a common language, these problems would vanish. In Belgium, we have a fine white people, divided by religion and divided by language. One group of Belgians speak Flemish, another group speak French. Because of both the difference in language and the difference in religion, these groups have been continually at each other's throats for generations. They are bitterly divided today, when the cause is needless and the difference artificial. In Canada, the Jews have seen to it that the French-speaking Canadians and the English-speaking Canadians were sure to pursue their language differences by making that country bilingual, when English would easily have been established as the official language when the British conquered Canada over 200 years ago. But no, it had to remain bilingual as a festering sore for the last two centuries until now. It is possible to use language as a revolutionary tool for partitioning French white Canada from British white Canada, with bitterness, strife, bloodshed, and hatred ensuing. Even in our own United States, when I was last in Puerto Rico, I noticed that unusual efforts were made to promote Spanish in that American territory. Traffic signs, street signs, and every other official designation were not bilingual, but Spanish. The Jews want to make sure that this divisive element is not phased out, which it easily could have been, but nurtured and promoted. And so it goes around the world. In short, the Jew uses every tool of division he can to split the white race, language, religion, nationality, age difference, sex difference, and dozens of others. Since Latin is so obviously the language that best expresses the common bond and heritage of the white race, the Jew has, especially in the last 30 years, been extremely aggressive in trying to phase out Latin per se. It is now no longer a prerequisite for law or for medicine in most colleges, and despite the fact that it is the most illustrious and significant language in the white man's heritage, it is now always referred to as a dead language. As the Jews did to Germany, Adolf Hitler, and the white race in general, no opportunity is allowed to pass without heaping ridicule and contempt upon everything that is Roman and Latin. So I say, let us not only preserve Latin as our priceless heritage, but let us realize what a tremendously valuable asset the white race has, even today, in this noble language, for our own unification throughout all the lands of the world. There is no question about it. Whereas language differences are divisive, a common language is unifying. I therefore suggest that after we have established Latin as the second language among all the white peoples of the world, we proceed from there. As the decades and generations proceed, we should then promote this foremost language of the white man's civilization to become the primary language, keeping the regional languages as a secondary language. By choosing Latin as the common ground, instead of, say, English, German, French, or Spanish, we would avoid the partisanship and opposition that would ensue should we try to settle upon one of the leading modern languages. Therefore, in the interest of unanimity, in the interest of convenience and practicality, in the interest of unifying the white race, and above all, in the interest of preserving a wonderful Roman-Latin heritage. I suggest we now promote the historic Latin language until one day it again becomes the common bond and the universal language of a regenerated white race.